presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
We are finally back. It's a brand new week, and there is way too much to talk about. Welcome inside KeyBank Center at the foot of RJ Way. And this is, if you've forgotten, Marty Baran.
I'm back.
Saber alum.
I never left.
Did you not? It sure felt empty in here without you, my friend.
Well, yes. I'll tell you this. Wednesday, when the last day we were on the air, the show, was free agent frenzy, which was not a frenzy for the UFAs.
Spent over $1 billion. Obviously, something happened.
Not for the UFAs. There was a lot more money spent on RFAs and players that, you know, business needed to be made. And there were some great deals out there. There was players that got, you know, money that you're like, what is going on? And then we had more drama coming up, you know, with Leo Carlson offer sheet and other like situations. So it has been soap opera central around the NHL, and I love it.
We're diving in on Sabres, obviously, but there's no bigger story right now in the NHL than the Flyers signing Leo Carlson to a 5-year offer sheet worth $18 million per, which would make him the highest paid player in the NHL. The most unbelievable thing has happened to the Ducks, who just 2 weeks ago were sitting there coming off of a playoff return, and yet now Pat Verbeek looks like he has mismanaged this situation worse than any general manager. And I say that because we are in an unprecedented time. So in this short window of this new world, no GM has, unfortunately for Anaheim, put himself in a tougher spot than what Verbeek has done by not getting deals done in advance with Carlson and Gauthier, and in the process has lost 4 of his 6 defensemen from last season, including Zellweger to Buffalo, and signed Minchikov to an overinflated 5-year deal at more than 7 per. Let's focus on Carlson. What happens? Do the Ducks match it? Do the Flyers win this big and stick it to the Ducks, which is clearly part of the intent all along?
I think the Ducks are going to match. And I get that, like, some people are like, oh, 4 first-round pick. Let's think about it, people. This is not 4 first-round pick in next draft. It wasn't 4 first-round pick at the last draft. It's a pick a year for the next 4 years. So you got a first round of 27, 28, 29, and 30. Those players may never affect you until you're way into 20, 32, 33, 34. And if the Flyers are good, you're picking 25th, 26th, 27th overall. That's peanuts for Leo Carlson. So don't think that the compensation matches the player.
No
it
chance.
Does not at all. So that's number one. Number two, so when these situations present themselves, like when Shea Weber was offer sheeted by the Flyers years ago, the Flyers did it, and when they front load the contract with huge signing bonus, thinking that the Nashville Predators were not going to be able to get cash to pay. Because as soon as the contract is like, we agreed to the contract, there's a bonus. Like right now, Leo Carlson would get $20 million the way the contract is worked together with signing bonus the day that the contract is approved. Well, Nashville back then with Shea Weber maybe didn't have $20 million in cash. Just like when the Canadiens signed Sebastian Aho to a offer sheet, they thought, hey, Carolina may not have the $20 million in cash to give it to them, so maybe they won't match. Now, the Anaheim Ducks and their owners worth $40 billion. I think they'll probably be able to find that money, but that doesn't mean they want to do it. That doesn't mean that it fits their corporate structure and their payment structure, saying we're going to give $39 million to a player in the first calendar year, because that's what it would be. And some people are asking, well, could the Ducks say we're going to honor the same contract 5 times 18, but restructure the payment? No, you can't. That contract's been signed and approved by the NHL. It's either the Anaheim Ducks put their name at the top of it or the Flyers put their name at the top of it. That's what we're waiting on right now to see what the Ducks do.
So what will they do?
They'll match.
Okay, but what happens is if they do, they now have left themselves no room. It's incredible.
Less than $10 million.
Less than $10 million to still try to find a way to sign Cutter Gauthier, who as a 41-goal scorer in his second year is now going to be asking for north of 12 and maybe closer to 16 based on the fact that Carlson is going to get $18 million this year. So this is a huge mess for Anaheim, and you're right. Carlson will effectively play for the league minimum for each of the 5 years of his deal.
Yes.
and it's all signing bonus money.
Well, and league minimum and salary. And
yeah,
actually,
that's what
with
I mean.
The escrow in the league,
yeah.
he probably won't even see a paycheck throughout the year
yeah.
because they'll save that because of the escrow. But they'll get this payment on July 1st every year, and they'll be fine. I mean, Cutter Gauthier, for example, you know, probably 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
was looking at getting $9 million, $9.5 million
Agreed.
On a long term.
Yeah.
And now it's 12, 12.5, 13 potentially.
Hindsight is easy, but these two players could have, should have now been done within the last
yes.
year for a total of $20 million for the two of them. That would
Imagine.
Have been the way to go.
So on July 1.
And even if it was 22, who cares?
Well, okay, so Zach Benson signs last week, right? We have him on the show. Signed 7 times 7.5 Great management by Jarmo Kekäläinen and the Sabres to say, hey, you know what? Like, we got to get him done before July 1 because mm-hmm. there could be an offer sheet. Somebody could come in with a lot of money, a lot of things that could happen, and the market could change, right? The draft's happening. Teams are going to sign their players, UFAs, whatnot. It's going to change. So let's get him done. Great. The Montreal Canadiens do the same thing with Ivan Demidov, and they give him 8 times 9.5
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're like, Demidov is half the money that Leo Carlson is going to make? Like, we're talking about two players that are very comparables right now in their skill level. Now, Leo Carlson has played an extra year, and actually an extra 2 years,
yeah.
so he's got more experience. But the level as to which they could reach, it doesn't match. One is 18, one is 9. So Montreal managed their assets mm-hmm. in a really good way. Pat Verbeek and Anaheim absolutely blew it.
Keep in mind, and Leo Carlson, before injury this year, which negated his Olympic experience,
yeah.
which Sweden lost in overtime to eventual gold medal winners, Team USA, there is no doubt in my mind that it could have been completely different if Sweden had Carlson. He was in the conversation in the first half of the year with what Celebrini was doing. Don't look at the end numbers, but
top
remember,
10 in the league scoring
remember what
at that
Carlson
time, yeah.
was doing, which allowed them, because he got back in the groove in the playoffs against Edmonton,
yeah.
right? Like, Leo Carlson is an unbelievable player. Jason Robertson is an unbelievable player. Different completely, but we know Robertson is now one of 15 that's going to,
yes.
well, has filed for arbitration.
How many of these
players get to the finish line through arbitration?
I think this year more will go.
I think you're right. And Peyton Krebs, from a Sabres standpoint, is, you know, Krebs obviously is an interesting one here from a Sabres
yeah.
standpoint, because everything that we're talking about, as always, has a trickle down. So every contract that gets signed, what do you think's next year for Krebs? Do you think he sees arbitration through, or do you think they do a multi-year ahead of time?
So the interesting thing with Krebs is he's 2 years away from UFA, right? So arbitration would probably be a one-year award, and then he would have another year before as a UFA. So the Sabres could have some flexibility here. The problem is the numbers. Because of where Krebs played this year, being up in the lineup, maybe higher than he should have been, because of the way the roster was, and maybe higher than where we will be as a role player with the Sabres. And he performed extremely well. So now the numbers are going to be in his side. When you go to arbitration, the numbers are the main thing that you look at. Maybe Peyton Krebs gets $4 million on a one-year deal in arbitration. Would do the Sabres want that from a bottom six, maybe even a fourth line guy, go $4 million?
39 points.
Yeah. It's going to be at least $4 million. So, to me, that's where you go. Can you work a deal with Krebs, maybe, where you say, look, we're going to give you more term.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you 4 years, 5 years, maybe. And we're going to stay around the $3 million range, as opposed to one year at $4 million, $4.5 million. And then, well, we got to do that song and dance again next year. But maybe your numbers are affected.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, like, getting term for Krebs would be the thing to do, right? And make sure you value your work for 1 year, but spread that over maybe 5 or 6.
The great unknown here as it pertains to arbitration, because we, again, have never been through this. This
yeah.
is a new world NHL, is how do the new bigger contracts, including the $18 million that Leo Carlson is going to get, impact what ultimately is ruled here for a Jason Robertson? Like, does all of a sudden you know, does everyone recognize the market has changed and Robertson get a rightful salary of, let's say, $14 million based on his pedigree across the NHL?
What
in
does
goals?
Dallas do with that?
And how does that trickle down and ultimately affect a Peyton Krebs? And again, we'll see. I mean, you're talking about other players of note here that have filed for arbitration this year, and Philadelphia among, you know, the newsmakers, obviously, with the, they've got Drysdale and Zegras here filing for arbitration, and they're going to be in a pinch also if they land Leo Carlson.
Now,
that's
remember,
a situation they want to
do.
Teams
could go 10% over the cap this summer, which is $10 million. But you know what is interesting to me? You mentioned of the players and their expectation.
Yeah.
Kirby Dach with Montreal. Mm-hmm. Qualifying offer was $4 million and a one-year deal.
Okay.
He doesn't take the qualifying offer, and he goes, he files for arbitration. Is he thinking he's getting more than $4 million in arbitration?
$4 million and two.
And $2, maybe the Beck Malenstein deal. But I'm like, that's why this, no way would I have thought Kirby Dach filing for arbitration was interesting, but it lends to me that that's what players and agents are thinking. They're going to get more money this summer than any other summers.
Beck, by the way, will be on the show tomorrow. Louis Crevier is going to join us later on here on Sabres Live as we kick off this Monday in fine fashion with so much to discuss. Dev Camp recap coming up, but no longer in the crease. Maybe eventually to be replaced by Jacob Biron. Devin Levi was dealt to the Oilers. So what do you make of that?
I thought it took a while. I was thinking that was going to get done before. The Oilers were the team rumored to have called on Levi and made a lot of their homework and their research on Levi. So you go, you trade Devin Levi with a seventh round. You get a third round pick back. A third round selection back, yes. In 2028, yes. So, obviously, this is to give Devin an opportunity. Now, in the meantime, the Edmonton Oilers have signed Freddie Anderson to one-year deal.
And still have Tristan Jarry.
So,
is he going to make the Oilers?
I think so.
Okay.
I think the thing with Devin Levi and the Oilers is he'll be given an opportunity. Number one. Number two, Freddie Anderson injured often. Mm-hmm. So he'll get a chance to play this year. So making the Oilers out of camp, and I think yes, because he would have to be put on waivers and then waiting for an opportunity to get some crease time for some game time because of potential injuries or anything like that. I think he's on the opening day roster with the Oilers.
Well, we wish him the best. He had some terrific moments with the Sabres and obviously largely with the Amerks over the last couple of years. The Amerks have tried to, so we had Michael Leone on the show last week. He knew that they would have to lean this way under new general manager Stacey Roost, and that is bring in some proven veteran point getters in this league, and that's how the Sabres and Amerks have rounded things out to this point in time for this coming season. What do you make of some of the names that are back in the organization, like Dennis Gilbert and Connor Sherry, longtime AHL standout Matthew Pekka, Trevor Kuntar is back in a multi-year deal, and you know, Aiden McDonough comes into the organization as well. These are guys that
they also
some
a goalie Matt
Vallalta.
Vallalta, yeah.
But the one thing I will say is like they this year for me when observing the Amerks is going to be about the defense core.
Well, yeah,
specifically, and it's now going to hopefully help the entirety of the group bringing in really, really established AHL guys.
So we all know, right, the Sabres and their structure on defense right now with a Zach Metsa involved in a potential seventh, right, defenseman. Mm-hmm. So a Dennis Gilbert will maybe have a chance to play some games with the Sabres this year, but I think he's brought in as an insurance policy and as a leader with the Rochester Americans for the young defenseman, also being a local guy and being around during the summer, working out, doing all of this. So that's great. Connor Sherry, I know he was here before on the Sabres side, but this is just a veteran addition in case you need a guy that has played some NHL games at some time during the season, but this will be a veteran addition in Rochester to give Michael Leone and his staff some players to rely upon. I really like Matthew Pekka. He was in Syracuse. He was with the Montreal Canadiens organization, Laval. This is a really solid AHL player that comes in and fills in the role of either a Austin or a Hellenius or a Anton Wahlberg leaving and all of it. You need players.
By the way, life might have gotten really good for Wahlberg based on the Ducks' potential demise.
Yes, exactly.
And opportunity to have a cheap player come up and play
May
for them.
May have an opportunity there.
Anyway, yes.
But yes, but I mean, so I like what C.C. Roos has been able to do here.
Yeah.
You're looking at players that have had great careers in the AHL, and to come to Rochester and help the group, I think this was a win in my book for the Rochester Americans.
And the reason we focus, at least I blurted it out this way, why I'm really anxious to see how the defense unfolds in Rochester this year, we just got another taste of it with DevCamp last week here in Buffalo.
Yes.
And Radim Mertka and his first full pro season coming up. And the blue line, which saw, you know, Max Sturback turn pro and Gavin McCarthy turn pro. What did you make of Jacob Barron and the rest of the Dev Camp crew in 3-on-3, which concluded on Thursday?
First of all, he had an amazing experience with the players. He's like, this was so cool to be part of this and be part of the 3-on-3, a full house at Lecombe Arbor Center. The fans were into it, getting to know the staff and how they run their NHL operation. He got to go tour the Bills Stadium, by the way. He said it was fantastic. So some of the guys that stood out to me, Jake Richard. He had 3 goals on Jacob, by the way. So
he might have been the only one to have any success against Jacob. I thought he was the best of the 3 goalies.
Oh, well, he did really good. So that was awesome. But Jake Richard stood out to me. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to go from Connecticut to Rochester this year, and I think he's going to have a chance to play a lot and make his mark.
With a veteran playmaker now, you know. That's...
I thought Jake Richard was good. I thought Ilya Morozov was really good. He stood out with his hands, with his skill set, with his... He likes to hang on to pucks, mm-hmm. not force anything. That's a hockey IQ that I thought was great. You know, we mentioned Dylan Dumont a lot. But
Patrick.
You drafted him mm-hmm. because of, you know, what we saw in practice earlier this year. Skills. And look, he's a 6th-round pick. Do I think that Dylan Dumont's going to have an impact on Buffalo or Rochester next year? No. But who knows? With his development in the next few years, I think it's going to be good. You know, Mertka. Stood out as well. He's big, right? So that was good. So there was a lot of guys that I thought
Gavin McCarthy
really well.
had 4 goals.
He had 4 goals.
Adam Kleber, yeah. My first pick, had 3, which was unbelievable because he used
great
the same
hands.
Move. It was awesome. And not that I was keeping score. Of course I was. My players that we drafted last week from Dev Camp outscore, even with your 4-goal Jake Richard performance, I had a slight edge.
You
can fact check
edge.
If you want.
No, you had a big
Should
edge.
Pat Kane become a Sabre as we move forward?
I think this is so interesting. A lot of rumors flying around that maybe the Sabres are inquiring on Patrick Kane, right? And we know the last few years have been like, Pat Kane to the Sabres. No, he goes to Detroit. Pat Kane to the Sabres, stays in Detroit. Look, is the top 6 and the top 9 for the Buffalo Sabres pretty filled out right now? Yeah, but you don't know what that's going to look like day 1 of the regular season, day 100 of the regular season. I think adding a Patrick Kane maybe fills in for an Alex Tuck role that comes in as a veteran.
What if they still make a big deal for a goaltender, and then that subtracts from the forward group? Kane could easily slide in.
I think, to me, and I know the, obviously, attraction would be Patrick Kane, a Buffalo kid, come back, finish your career, bring some leadership. The Sabres have made the playoffs mm-hmm. now. What's the next step? Keep going further. Win a cup. Well, you got to get people that have that experience, and Patrick Kane has that experience. I would be into it,
yeah.
And I know that maybe it goes against my, well, Auslan, Kulik, Hellenius, or whatnot, but I don't think it would stop their development. Mm-hmm. I think it would just enhance it.
Well, Connor Bedard is one of the RFAs that is, you know, one of the great young players in the game. And based on the Carlson offer sheet, everybody's wondering, like, well, what's Bedard's next deal going to be? What's Celebrini's next deal going to be? Unfortunately for the Hawks and Bedard, at least now, until we get a further update from Chicago, the concern is not about his next contract, but his health after this mishap in summer skates.
Yeah, summer skates. He was playing like a short area game 3-on-3. He actually went in the boards by himself and was in major discomfort coming off. Now, it's important to notice that I know Bedard got hurt, shoulder injury this year. It's different shoulders. It looks like it's a different shoulder, which could be a bigger problem, mm-hmm. knowing that both shoulders have issues right now. So we'll see what happens with Chicago. Chicago gave Bo Byram that big deal, right? The 6 years, $12.5 million. That's a big jump. It doesn't kick in this year, but still. But Connor Bedard's a big. Now, if you had to ask me who's going to make more money, Macklin, Celebrini, Connor Bedard, it's Celebrini. Celebrini is going to make more money. But Bedard is seeing all these deals and saying, I'm going to get there too.
Right.
I'm going to get to 15 potentially, which, look, he deserves it. But, I mean, is he healthy? Will he be able to produce over the next 7-8 years?
It's very hard to argue against a player now asking for what appears to be a super inflated number, because they weren't 15. The ones that changed the landscape. Others before them have done that, and Bedard and Celebrini, among others, are going to benefit greatly. A former Bedard teammate, Louis Crevier, newest member of the Sabres, will join us coming up here on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Create unforgettable game nights for 10 or more people this year with your group ticketing experiences here inside of KeyBank Center. You can save on box office pricing, get access to exclusive experiences like photos on center ice, post-game slapshots, Sabres access, and more. Visit sabres.com/groups and hope that we get to see events like this in shootouts.
The second career attempt for Louis Crevier, the big defenseman sent out there by Jeff Blashill. And on Vasilevskiy, the backhand scores! The Hawks have the lead.
Talk about making it look smooth and easy. Guy comes down with not a lot of experience going against one of the most experienced goaltenders, and he just puts it, elevates. That's the key. When you've got the flexibility and the size of a Vasilevskiy, when you get it moving post to post, you've got to elevate that puck.
Who doesn't love the shootout? Those words this year from Josh Norris to us, and now we can say that Louis Crevier is a part of the Sabres list once we get to shootouts this year. He's 1-for-2 lifetime, including that tally against Andrei Vasilevskiy. Welcome to the Sabres, Louis. It is great to have you on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
So, Louis, just so people know, I grew up in Quebec City. I was about 20 minutes north of the city. The problem is that I always ask people from Quebec City if they were big Nordiques fans back in the day. You were born and the Nordiques had been gone 5 years already. So, but was your family big Nordiques fan in Quebec City when you grew up, when they were younger and the team was in town?
I think it was a little bit divided. I know my mom was a big Nordiques fan. But some of my uncles are still Montreal fans, so it's always it's always a little bit weird talking to them. But no, it's mostly Nordiques fan. I know a couple of years ago we kind of had a shot to get the team back, but I don't know if it's gonna happen soon.
Well, as you can imagine, especially on the heels of the most recent playoff series, the longtime rivalry of Buffalo and Montreal has been amped up. So that'll be fun for you and your family. And did you know that Louis' first and only to this point NHL fight against Caden Gooley of Montreal Canadiens?
There's a rivalry there for you right then for your buddy. But also, so just go on, because people are going to want to go on your social media, on your Instagram. So Lewis on the Instagram, Lewis. Is that to make sure people call you that? Is that your nickname, or do people mostly call you Louis or Lou?
It's something I did like 10 years ago, so I don't know why. It just stuck, but no, Louis, Lewis. I don't really care. You call me Lou as well. It's all over the place.
It's hilarious. Yeah. We all have those decisions 10 years later.
I've been Marty for like 25 years in Buffalo, so yeah, that's good.
Louis, what was your reaction when you found out you were traded here to Buffalo?
It was, it was quite weird. I was actually in Italy. I was in Rome when the trade happened, so it was, it's 6 hours difference from Buffalo, so it was about three, four in the morning, I think, when I learned it. We went to dinner super late, because that's I guess that's how they do it over there. It was like we went to eat at 10, and we came back a little bit later, and I saw, you know, it was like the first part of the trade that came out a little bit earlier, and for some reason, my you know, when you're in Europe, my data wasn't working really well, so I couldn't get texts or calls from my agents, from the team, and it was. But I was able to text Alex Vlasic for some reason. That was the only guy I could text, and he kind of gave me a heads up. Hey Lou, you might. You know, I'm seeing some stuff, so I was. It was pretty late. It was a unique experience to get traded like that while you're on a trip. But after the first emotions kind of quiet down, I was. I was watching the Sabres in playoff against Montreal last year, and you know, it's such a good team, such a young team, and I'm super excited to join the team.
So when you look at the defense, the group of defense, obviously, Dahlin, Owen Power, Matthias Samuelsson had a great season. And even Jarmo Kekalainen, talking last week to the media after July 1, free agent, he said, hey, you know what? We got Owen Zellweger from Anaheim. We got Louis Crevier here. And there's internal competition. You know, there's a spot maybe on the right side of Owen Power. So are you looking at this, and this could be a really good fit for you? Big, strong group on the defensemen that you could add to.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, I feel like growing up in the Chicago organization, I've had to play multiple roles. You know, even last year, I kind of started as the seventh defenseman early in the year, and I felt like I was forcing Blash's hands to stay in the lineup, and so I started, you know, with a less minutes, and then by the end of the year, I was with Vlas playing top pairs against bigger lines. So it was, I do feel like I'm able to play all over the lineup. So I don't know. I think it's always different to join a new team, obviously. So we'll see what happens, but I'm confident I'll be able to help the team.
Well, for what it's worth, Michael Pekka still lives in Buffalo in the offseason. He was an assistant coach with you guys in Chicago. Absolutely loved you, right? The way that you played. And so if you need to find out, like, we can help you with the spots to live or whatever, but I'm sure you have Pecks on speed dial. You could say, hey, you want me to live in your house? Or, like, how does that work? So, but he absolutely says great things about you. So you did force their hands throughout the year to elevate, which is always awesome. Awesome to see. So that's great.
And obviously the general manager was very excited to pick you up in this very significant deal, one that sends Bo Byram the other way. But Jarmo Kekalainen loves your story. I mean, you're a seventh rounder out of the class of 2020. Louis has played more games than anybody in the NHL drafted from that fourth round or later. Yeah. So you've already made an impact in this short period of time. What do you think it is now that you think you can, like, last season was really good for you, as you just documented. What do you think is the next big step for you?
I mean, I think joining a winning team with playoff expectations and expectations in general is going to be a big step for me. I think it's going to be a, you know, there's always a period of transition, so that's something I've never really experienced before. So playing with those really good players, playing with some really good defensemen is going to be something. I'm super excited to do, and I just feel I want to do the same thing I did in Chicago, which is, you know, it's playing simple, and when I have my shot, to bomb a shot to the net and create some offense there. You know, you're never going to see me do what Dahlin does on the blue line, or, you know, I'm going to keep it simple. And, but, you know, obviously I want to chip in offensively when I have the chance, and playing some good defense. That's why I'm in the NHL right now. That's to play defense. So, yeah.
What? You mentioned the bomb of the shot, though.
Yeah.
If the Sabres held a skills competition tomorrow, do you think you'd be in the top three and hardest shot on the team?
I don't know. You guys have some. There's some good shots also with the Sabres. I don't know. It'd be fun to see, but I don't know. Maybe top. I don't know. I like my chances. We'll see.
Yeah, you and Tage go head to head at some point this year.
Your hardest shot this year was 102.83 miles per hour. Like, are we to expect, like, you know, like 100 miles an hour? Often you were one of those few that got over 100 miles an hour last year. So is this like a chip on your shoulder or a feather in your cap, whatever, to say, hey, I can shoot as hard as Tage maybe?
Yeah, I think I always knew I had a strong shot. I kind of discovered this year I could use it more often and with a lot of power. So it was, hopefully, I know I'll be able to do it as again this year. So I think it's it'd be something cool to do in Buffalo to have a hundred mile shot that goes in. That'd be pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah. And, the fans, every time you let that go, you're going to sense it, because when Tage lets it go, he knows that it's coming and they're anticipating it. So that's awesome. Now let's go back to juniors. Obviously that's where you developed and then you get drafted, but playing Chicoutimi and then, your last year, you move on with Quebec. You played for Patrick Roy with the Ramparts, and you played with Sevi Komarov, who's also in the Sabres organization. So what was that experience like playing in your hometown of Quebec City, in my hometown of Quebec City? It's the same organization I played with in juniors, although we were in Beauport, but it's the same organization. So what was that like for you, playing for Patrick Roy in Quebec City? And a little word on Sevi Komarov when you have a chance.
Yeah, it was... It was awesome. I think Pat was really good to me. He believed in me, and he was, one thing I thought was pretty cool about him. You know, he could go there, and he's Patrick Roy. He's probably the greatest goalie ever. So he's
after Dominik Hašek. Now that you're in Buffalo, you always say after Dominik Hašek. Yes,
I have a couple of things to learn. So yeah, but yeah, he could. He was always open to our opinions. He was always asking us, what are you guys thinking? Should we do this? Do that? And he was. I thought that was pretty cool of him. And I kind of missed the boat by 1 year. The next year they won everything. So I always, I wish I could have played for that edition, but I wasn't surprised to see him win the big honors once again in the queue. And I think that was Komi's first year in, I don't know if it was in North America or, but it was his first year in the queue, and he was, you could see right away he was going to be a really good player. I'm going to be excited to see him once again.
Do you have any other connections to any Sabres?
Honestly, not so much. It was I've only played against him, and I'm pretty happy I'm part of the group now, because it was some tough games.
So 46 was your number in Chicago. You were 24 in junior, so why going to 46? And I didn't even look on the website. I didn't even check to see what it's going to be this year. But what's the number that you want, or why did you go 46 and 24?
Because that's the number they gave me at training camp.
That's a great answer.
when you're seventh round pick, you don't choose your number often, and that's the number they gave me, and that's I'm gonna keep this one for Buffalo as well. So I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of always have to play with a chip on your shoulder, and I thought it was cool idea to keep the same number. I like 46. It worked well for me in Chicago, so hopefully it's gonna work well again in Buffalo.
Well, a rather large defenseman was the last to wear 46.
I was gonna say, Ilya Lyubushkin. A lot of defensemen have worn 46. Bobby Bugner for a little bit. Cody Franzen was a big defenseman, and Brendan Biro. And Ilya
not
Lyubushkin,
a big defenseman.
Not a big defenseman, no. But Ilya Lyubushkin was, so yeah. That's good.
Louis, like, what? How will you now spend the rest of this summer? Like, what changes for you based on the trade? Like, does it, you know, affect like how early you would come into Buffalo to get acclimated to a new city and organization? And also, like, what are you still going to do for fun here in the rest of summer?
Yeah, I don't think it changes too much for like my workouts or anything. I've talked to the strength coaches, and you know, maybe I'm gonna switch a couple of things. I don't know. It's still pretty new, pretty fresh, mm-hmm. the trade. So you know, I'm gonna have to get used to it. And yeah, probably maybe leaving a couple of days earlier. You know, I was always leaving a little bit before camp in Chicago, but I didn't have anything planned yet for that. And for fun, I mean, as I said, I did my big my big trip in Italy already, so it's I'm gonna be more quiet down for the rest of the summer, stay in Quebec City and work out.
So I was watching the World Cup with my kids the other day, and we were saying like, oh, the World Cup soccer is the number one most watched sports event in the world. Mm. Number two is the Summer Olympics. Number three is the Tour de France, and you are a big Tour de France guy. So are you watching it right now, and why are you big in cycling? When does that love of cycling come from?
It's pretty new. It started only last summer, and okay. I got into it. I think it's awesome. I'm one of those. I'm trying to stay. I have a good relationship with cars. You know, I'm not that guy who stays in the middle of the road. So I'm, you know, it's good. But no, I think it's awesome, and it's a good cardio as well. I think it's good for hockey, and it's just like your mind goes to rest when you're on a bike and just hitting the road. So, and back home here, we have pretty good spots to ride. So it's awesome.
Pretty good hills. What's the biggest hill in Quebec City that gives you a hard time? Because I mean, even where you are, where you live now, I mean, you could go up the hill to go up to the university, and it's a pretty steep one.
Yeah, there's a good one next to my house, but I usually try to avoid those. So
but they're fun to go downhill, yeah. Not so much uphill.
yeah, no, it's I'm still new to it though. There's I think if I go outside the city a little bit, there's some elevation that we can get a good workout in.
Louis, last one. We're told that you love watching TV shows on your iPad. So if you could only watch three TV shows for the rest of your life, what would they be?
All right. I got Succession's a good one. I really like Succession. I've tried to get some of the guys in Chicago to watch it. And they said they didn't like it. I just don't think they were ready for it. Succession's a great, great TV show. And I don't know. After it's always... I think I'll stick with Succession. I don't know. My top three is going to be too vague. I don't know. I'll just stick with that one for now. I don't know why. It's too many choices.
Marty would pick Friends.
Well, Friends I watch a lot. L'Enseignante would be a French one that I always kind of go back to. It's an old 80s, 90s one. What about Shorzy? Are you a Shorzy fan?
I've watched the first season, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good recommendation, actually. I'll start it after this.
Maybe start the Shorzy again, because, by the way, that was my last win as a Sabres alumni when we played the Shorzy group here 2 years ago. I haven't won a game since, but that's okay.
Continuing your streak.
Yes.
Louis, thank you so much for the time today, and we can't wait to see you here in the fall.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and, I'll see you guys in Buffalo.
Yes. Louis Crevier joining the Sabres Defense Corps this offseason via a big trade with the Hawks. We're back with Dazzled and Disturbed next.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What a start to the week. Louis Crevier, fantastic kid, and obviously a lot to look forward to as he joins the Sabres this year. Let's get to Dazzled and Disturbed.
Dazzled and
Disturbed. Someday we'll replicate it perfectly. Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin is back.
He is back. Man, the rumor mill was sending him to Russia, press conference later in July, whatnot. He is returning for a one-year contract with the Washington Capitals. Tuck, Kyrou, a lot of changes. They're going to be a good team. They're going to compete for the Metro. And Ovi comes in and will play on the power play, one-timers away on the left side, and that's it. It's going to be fun to watch him at least one more year.
Led the team in goals and points last year. Can he do it again? Amerks news.
Yes, so Griffin De La Penna is the new broadcaster. We know Griffin, obviously, from some of the work that he's done. He was shadowing us a little bit. He's done some local stuff in all sports, but he is going to be now the new broadcaster, following in the footsteps of Don Stevens and their multimedia journalist. He was here at the development camp, did some great stuff. So good job, Griffin. Congrats, and we'll be listening and watching you this year.
Speaking of local products, they are thriving at times here in the majors, as we have hinted at before with Joe Mack from Williamsville, and pretty cool to see him going head-to-head with Jonah Heim this past weekend.
Yes, obviously Joe Mack, Williamsville East, and Jonah Heim from Amherst. So those two went head-to-head with the Athletics and the Marlins over the the weekend. So
how about yesterday? Heim hit a grand slam, but Florida took out their starter after seven innings of a perfect game, and then subsequently it ended up a 9-8 game, which they barely hung on to. Wild stuff.
There was some wild games yesterday in the majors. The Braves almost made a seven run comebacks in the ninth, bottom of the ninth.
Incredible. How about this? We never know when the reaction is going to come or where. We had Zach Benson on the show, and then we posted his interview on YouTube. And then in the comments, somebody brought up this about you. Andy wanted to get this answer from you.
He said, always wanted to know what Marty was thinking when Malkin ripped a clapper on a breakaway in the playoffs in 08. I'll tell you, Andy, what I remember out of this, and I'm still fuming for this situation, is what we don't see about 20 seconds before this. Malkin had a breakaway, got run over by Mike Richards behind the net, and Malkin is going back to the bench like he's dead. He's out of energy, he can't skate, and then he saw that we turned our puck over at the other end. He did a little 360 at the blue line, got the puck for a breakaway, he took three strides, one, two, three, and then let go of a slapper to the blocker side and scored. And then he acted like, I'm the man. I'm the big guy here. I'm like, dude.
He was.
He won the Conn Smythe.
Another shining moment for you on Versus.
Yeah, exactly. It was better than on OLN. But I was so mad, and I'm still mad with that goal that Malkin scored in the 08 playoff.
It was so Gretzky-esque, but I'm glad that you painted the picture of everything that happened before, because that's why you got the celebration and then the cutaway of Richards and Malkin. That was the whole story at that point in time. There's still a story to be written at the World Cup, despite your...
Our Canadian fellows lost, and that's fine. I mean, it was a tight game. They played a great first half, just couldn't score, and then they lost 3-0 to Morocco, and Mexico also losing in the round of 16. So two of the three host countries have lost now in the early going of the round of 16. Canada, USA plays tonight at 8. They're hoping to continue. Belgium's not going to be an easy out, but USA, which were supposed to be without their one of their best players to a red card, he's going to be able to play. I forget his name, but anyway.
Maligan,
that's right. He's going to be able to play, so tune in. But the Golden Boot is also pretty interesting. Messi, Haaland, and Mbappe, all with 7 goals.
I feel like I've been on the wrong end of the Golden Boot a few times in my career. Jessie Pegula still going at Wimbledon. This is great.
This is great. She advances to the quarterfinals. I watched it yesterday morning. She was fantastic, which now she's going to be facing Coco Gauff, who had a little bit of a speed bump
doubles
last night.
Doubles partner.
Yeah. You're right. They were doubles partner recently as well. But it was a great performance from Jessica Pegula, coming back after losing the first set to win the second and third set. A huge boost. And she's pretty fiery on the court. I like it.
Happy birthday to current Shark, former Sabre, Eric Comrie,
yes,
to former Shark, former Sabre, Christian Ehrhoff. And I don't even know how I would attach Shark to our good friend, South Buffalo's own Kevin Kennedy. It's his birthday today, too.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you drop in Shark in the national anthem or something. He can sing the national anthem at the Sharks game. How about that?
I would love that. Enjoy the day. Kevin. What a show today. Beck Malenstein, among others, tomorrow. We'll see you then.